to open up your word to any passage and stand up and preach your Bible. And Lord, I ask that you would please bless this time and help this to be a time of growth for all of us, a time of challenge for all of us, that we would leave here being a little different than how we came. We love you, Father, in your precious name I pray. Amen. All right, well, we're there in Psalm 1. Psalm 1 is one of my favorite passages in the Bible. And I'd love to take the time this morning and just preach through the 6 verses of Psalm 1. But that's not what I'm doing this morning. But I'd like to bring your attention to verse number 3. If you look down at verse number 3, the Bible says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither." And I want you to notice the last part of verse number 3. It says, "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." I don't know if maybe you just read through that and didn't really focus on it, but when I read those words, I think to myself, wow, what a promise. And isn't that, wouldn't you love to have that promise from God? Where it says, whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. And that's what I want to preach about this morning. I want to preach about on the subject of how to prosper. How to prosper. And surprisingly, the Bible, well not surprisingly, the Bible talks a lot about every subject in the Bible. But there's a lot of passages in regards where God teaches us how to prosper. Now you're there in Psalm 1. Move real quickly with me to Psalm 35. Psalm 35. And we'll jump right into the sermon this morning. Psalm 35. The first thing I want you to understand about the subject of how to prosper. Now, the word prosper, just so you understand what it means. The word prosper means to succeed. The word prosper means to do well. The word prosper means to increase. It means to grow. It means to do something in the right way. And you go there to Psalm 35. But Psalm 1, God gave us a promise there. And God said about this blessed man. He said, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree." Now, I want you to understand this. Verse 3, "And he," that he is referring to the blessed man. "That blessed man will be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in due season. His leaf also shall not wither. And whatsoever he," we're talking about an individual, a blessed man, "he said, whatsoever that man doeth shall prosper." God says there is a way to be the type of man or the type of woman or the type of person, the type of Christian, that God would cause it that anything and everything you do prospers. Yeah. Wouldn't you love everything you set your mind to do, you succeed? Everything you set your mind to do, it goes well. It grows and God allows His blessing there. And I want you to understand, because I think, you know, there's a movement today, and I'll go into a little bit here in a second, but there's a movement today by the Pentecostals and new evangelicals today and the charismatic movement. They'll teach a prosperity gospel. Has anybody ever heard that term before? Prosperity gospel. And today, Joel Osteen preaches a prosperity gospel. And all sorts of, pretty much anyone you watch on TV as a preacher is preaching the prosperity gospel. I can almost promise you that. You say, "Well, what's the prosperity gospel?" The prosperity gospel is this. If you get saved, God is going to make you rich, and God is going to make you healthy, and God can fix all your problems, and you just got to, and there used to be a term where they would say, you just name it and claim it. You just pray to God and you name Him. You just tell Him what you want. You just go to God and you say, "God, I want that new Cadillac." And you just name that thing and claim it. And God's going to give it to you. Look, that's not what the Bible is talking about. When it talks about prospering. But the word prosper does mean to succeed. It does mean to grow. It does mean to do well. And I want you to understand this, that God wants us to prosper. You're in Psalm 35. Look at verse number 27. Psalm 35, 27. The Bible says, "Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor my righteous cause. Yea, let them say continually," look what the Bible says, "Let the Lord be magnified," look what it says about the Lord, "which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servants." Do you see that? See, God takes pleasure in having His servants prosper. God takes pleasure in watching His servants live a victorious Christian life. God takes pleasure in having His children and His servants be able to grow and succeed and do well in life. The Bible says that the Lord be magnified which hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. So you got to understand that God wants us, God wants you, God wants me, He wants us as individuals to be able to prosper. Now, let me give you a disclaimer, and I already began to talk about it, but let's look at it a little more. You're there in Psalm 35, right? Go to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. Look at verse number 3. The first thing you've got to understand is that prosperity is not something we use to measure godliness. Prosperity is not something we look to measure how right with God someone is. That's what the prosperity gospel preachers teach today. They say, oh, you got cancer? You must not be right with God. Or, oh, you lost your house? You must be in sin. Oh, you lost your job? You know, that's not right. And we'll look at that here a little bit. But look at Psalm 73. And you got to understand this. The wicked prosper. In Psalm 73, look at verse number 3. Asaph, we preached a whole sermon on Psalm 73 recently in our church about Asaph. But I won't go through that. But look at verse number 3. Asaph was getting backslidden. In Psalm 73 is Asaph talking to us about how he got backslidden and how he got right with God. And I preached a whole sermon on that recently, and I'm not going to touch on that. But I want you to see, as he was getting backslidden, look what led him down the path of getting backslidden. Look what led him down the path of quitting church. Look what led him down the path of quitting Bible reading, quitting prayer time, quitting soul winning. Look what it says, verse 3. He says, "For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked." Do you see that? Asaph said, I started watching my unsaved family members who weren't serving God, and it just seems like everything goes right for them. He said, I started looking at the world and the wicked and the people that blaspheme God, the people that don't go to church, the people that don't live for God. They mock the Bible and they mock righteousness and how just they've got nice houses, they've got nice cars, they've got good jobs. And he said, I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. And I want to give you a disclaimer. Before we begin to talk about how you and I can prosper, you've got to understand, you cannot measure godliness by prosperity. And if you look at the wicked and envy or covet them for their prosperity, you need to just get right with God. You need to run to church or run to a Bible and just ask God to forgive you. Because that's wrong and that's a sin. Look at verse 12. Skip down to verse 12. Look what he says. He says, "Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches." Let me tell you something. The ungodly will prosper in this world. This is their world. The Bible tells us that the devil is the king of this world, and the ungodly and the wicked will prosper. So we've got to understand, when we talk about the subject of prosperity, we talk about the subject of how you and I can prosper, and how you and I can succeed, and how you and I can live a victorious life, you've got to understand that we must be very careful how we perceive prosperity. We should not envy the wicked when they prosper. Not only that, though, like I said already, we don't believe in the prosperity gospel. You're there in Psalms. I want you to just go to the book right before Psalm, to the book of Job, and go to Job 36. Job chapter number 36. And let me just explain something to you. Every false doctrine and every false religion, are you surprised when we preached, I don't know how many weeks, I think I preached 8, maybe 10 weeks on the subject of false religions. And were you surprised how there's just so much Bible to refute false religion today? You say, well, why is that, Pastor? Here's what you got to understand. The Bible tells us that there is no new thing under the sun. Man does not come, man thinks they come up with a new idea. They think they come up with a new thing. Look, everything that you think of and I think of, someone's already thought of. And by the way, everything you're going through and I'm going through, someone's already gone through. Everything you're feeling and I'm feeling, someone's already felt. And the Bible tells us that there's no new thing under the sun. And it's funny to me because today the Pentecostal prosperity gospel preacher will look at you and say, you lost your job, you must not be right with God, or you're sick, you got to have more faith. That's what they'll tell you. They'll tell you, you may not have sin in your life, but you don't have enough faith. You need to have enough faith to name it and claim it and this and that. And they'll look at passages where, like Jesus said, thy faith hath made thee whole. And they'll say, see, their faith made them whole. But here's what you understand. First of all, he was talking about salvation, number one. Number two, their faith saved them. Jesus healed them. You understand that? They didn't heal themselves based on their faith. But here's what the funny thing is. Remember Job? Who's familiar with the story of Job? Rich man, great family, great prosperity, great success. Lost it all. Why? Because of his sin? No. Because God was using him to be an example to Satan, and because of the book of Job, an example to you and I. But remember when Job's three friends came over? And they came to encourage him. You know, that's where the idea of, with friends like these, who needs enemies, right? Because his friends came to encourage him, and they ended up just bad-mouthing him and being negative. And I want you to see, you're there in Job 36, look at verse number 11. This is one of his friends, Elihu, and he's there to encourage Job. But notice what he starts to talk, and he kind of goes down a path, and look at Job 36:11. He says, if they obey and serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword, and they shall die without knowledge. Now he's saying, you know, this is funny, because this is how people talk today. They'll say, you know, I'm not talking about you, but I'm just saying in general thing, you know. And he's saying, Job, the reason that people, you know, lose their business, and their children die, and they have marital problems, I'm not talking about you, Job, but you know, they, if they would obey and serve him, they should spend their days in prosperity and their years in pleasure. But if they obey not, they shall perish by the sword. And what he's saying to them is like, Job, you must not be right with God. You must not be obeying. That's the prosperity gospel of today. You know? And here's what I want you to understand, okay? He says that they shall serve him, they shall spend their days in prosperity. And look what it says, and their years in pleasures. Okay? You can prosper without having pleasure. But the prosperity gospel says prosperity equals pleasure. And I'll explain that in a bit, but I want you to remember that. But we reject the teaching that because you got saved, because you started coming to church, because you started reading your Bible, that God's just going to bless you, you're never going to have any problems, you're never going to have any issues, you can have your best life now. That's not in the Bible, my friend. But I do want you to understand this. God wants you to prosper. And God tells us how to prosper. Now, here's what you got to understand about prosperity. And I said I was going to jump right into the sermon, but I'm still in the introduction. So just hold on tight, and we'll get into the sermon here in a second. God not only wants you to prosper, God is the one who causes us to prosper. Now, you're there in Job, right? Go towards the left in your Bible, and go past the book of Esther, and go past the book of... Actually, don't go past the book of Nehemiah. Go to Nehemiah. So you're going to go towards your left, past the book of Esther. Go to Nehemiah. Go to Nehemiah chapter number 2. I'm just laying the foundation so you understand this idea of prosperity. Nehemiah chapter number 2. Look at verse number 20. Nehemiah chapter number 2 and verse 20. Nehemiah, this great man of God, said in chapter 2 and verse 20, he said, then answered I them and said unto them, the God of heaven, notice what he says, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. Do you see that? He says, the God of heaven, he's the one that's going to cause us to prosper. Therefore, we his servants will arise and build. But ye have no portion, nor right, nor memorial in Jerusalem. He said, Nehemiah was getting ready to build a wall there in Jerusalem. And he said, how are you going to build a wall, Nehemiah? You don't have the finances you need. You don't have the workforce you need. You don't have the ability that you need. And he says, you know what? If this thing prospers, if this thing succeeds, if this thing grows, it's because God did it. He says, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. I want you to understand that prosperity comes from God. God is the one who causes us to prosper. Go to Genesis chapter number 39. Should be easy to find. First book in the Bible. Genesis chapter number 39. Look at verse number 3. Genesis chapter number 39 and verse number 3. And here we're jumping into the story of Joseph. You remember Joseph in the Bible? Spent like 12 weeks preaching on Joseph. Hopefully you remember that. Genesis chapter number 39. Look at verse number 3. Genesis 39:3, the Bible says, and his masters saw that the Lord was with him. That him is referring to Joseph. And that the Lord, notice what it says, made all that he did to prosper in his hand. Do you see that? God, the Bible says that God made everything that Joseph touched. Everything that Joseph did, every job that he was given, every responsibility, everything he did, he prospered. Do you remember when we were studying about Joseph, or in your own Bible reading about Joseph? Do you remember how everywhere he went, he just ascended up? He was sold into slavery, and he became the number one guy at the house of Potiphar where he was the slave. He was a slave, but he was in charge. Because they saw, man, this guy, we gave him a little job and he did it well. He worked hard. He did a good job. God prospered. They kept giving him more jobs. Then they lied about him. Remember Potiphar's wife lied and said that she tried to do something that he didn't try to do. And he had her, Joseph was thrown into prison because he was lied about. And what happened when he got to prison? He became the leader and he pretty much ran the show in prison. And then what happened? He ascends up to the highest office in Egypt, save for Pharaoh. And everything, every job that Joseph was given, God caused it to prosper. But I want you to understand, it wasn't Joseph's ability, it wasn't his the fact that he was really smart and his talent. The Bible is very clear there in verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master the Egyptian, and his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. The Lord is the one that caused Joseph to prosper. Nehemiah said, the God of heaven, he will prosper us. And what I want you to say about prosperity is that God, number one, wants you to prosper, and number two, God is the one who causes us to prosper. Go with me to 2 Chronicles, chapter number 26. 2 Chronicles, you're going to go Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, Joshua, Judges, Ruth, 1 and 2 Samuel, 1 and 2 Kings, 1 and 2 Chronicles. Chapter number 26. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 26. And look down at verse number 5. 2 Chronicles, chapter number 26, and look down at verse number 5. 2 Chronicles 26. 5, the Bible says, and he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. And I want you to notice this. And as long as he sought the Lord, notice the last phrase of verse number 5, God made him to prosper. Now here's what you got to understand, okay? And I believe if you got this in your life, it would revolutionize your life. You must understand, and this goes with the idea that God is the one who causes us to prosper, goes with the idea of not being envious of the wicked when they prosper, and it goes into the next point that I'm going to make. And here's what you got to understand, okay? If you're a Christian, and what I mean by a Christian, I don't mean you go to church. I mean if you're saved, if you've accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you're born again, you're 100% sure you're on your way to heaven, it has nothing to do with your works, it has nothing to do with how you live your life, it has everything to do with Jesus Christ. Here's what you got to understand, okay? When you got saved, whether you knew it or not, life, the game of life, I'm not talking about the board game, I'm talking about your life, was now played under different rules. Please understand that. You say, you look at the wicked and say, well, they can fornicate and they can be in adultery and they can be on drugs and they prosper. Yeah, but they're playing by different rules than you are. See, when you got saved, the Heavenly Father became your Heavenly Father and God took interest in your life. And let me tell you something, whether you like it or not, whether it's fair or not, you're not going to get away with the same things they get away with. You're not going to be able to do the same things they do. You play your game of life by a different set of rules. It's a different game. That's why there's no use in looking at, you say, well, the movie stars of today and the athletes of today and the this and that. Well, first of all, why are you so educated on the world to begin with, number one? You know, I grew weird if people would be able to tell me all about Oprah Winfrey and all about Dr. Phil and all about this sports game and that sports game and this athlete and that athlete. But you talked about Paul and Peter and Nehemiah and Esther and Ruth and they're like, what are you talking about? You know, you got to understand, they play by a different rule. That's life. Again, not the board game. He said, well, it's not fair. Yeah, you're right, you know. Yeah, you know, you're right. Just live your life the way you want, prosper in this world, and then spend eternity in hell, because that's better, right? Look, when God saved you, when God, you know, shed His blood for you and He gave you eternal life, you got to understand this, He redeemed you. He purchased you. The Bible says, ye are not your own, ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify your Father which is in heaven. See, you live life differently. You play by different game, by different rules. You cannot get away, and you will not get away with the same thing. You say, well, they got away with it. Yeah, but they don't have a Heavenly Father. They only got a carnal Father. If that, you've got someone in heaven who's watching you. The eyes of the Lord. Remember, we saw that in the bulletin. They observe everything. and they watch you, and they're with you. And that's why, you know, and that's why you got to understand, and please listen to this. God can prosper you, but that doesn't mean that you will have pleasure. Remember we talked about that? Did we just read about Joseph, that God prospered everything that he touched with his hand? Did we just read that? Okay, but was Joseph's life necessarily a pleasurable life? Would you like to be like, would you like your brothers to kidnap you, throw you in a ditch, and sell you as a slave? Does that sound like, see, that's not what the prosperity gospel preacher's preaching. Would you like to go as a slave, work your tail off, be to work on time every day, early, working hard all day long, doing everything that the master wants you to do, and you go up the ladder and you become the leader just to have some woman lie about you and have you thrown in prison when you didn't do anything wrong? Would you like that? Would you like to go to prison and then be able to help two men? Remember the butler and the baker? And God reveals to you their dreams and your promise that when he gets back to Pharaoh's palace, he's going to remember you, and then he forgets about you for 2 years, and for 2 years you're just waiting to be released and nothing happens. Would you like that? Say, he lived a prosperous life. Yeah, but that's not necessarily meaning that he lived in fame and riches and glory. Okay? God's prosperity is different than what this world considers prosperity. And that's why you understand we don't live by the same rules. Say, well, how can we prosper, Pastor? Well, number one, how to prosper as a Christian is what we should say. By the rules of the Bible, because by the way, that's the rule book that you play by. And let me tell you something. This is the book you'll be judged by. And the whole world will be judged by this book. But your life will be judged according to this Bible. Say, Pastor, how can I prosper? I don't know if you're interested in this. I'm highly interested in something like this. I'd like to know, what can I do so that God will allow everything I do to prosper? Every job I take, every ministry I do. I mean, I don't know about you, but when it comes to a marriage, I want God to help me prosper. When it comes to raising my children, I want God to help me prosper. When it comes to pastoring a church, I want God to help me prosper. When it comes to my secular job, I want God to help me prosper. Hey, when it comes to everything in life, I want God to help me and be on my side and help me succeed. You say, well, how do we do that? Well, number one, what causes us to prosper? The first thing you've got to understand is that seeking after God is a prerequisite for being able to prosper. Say, what are you talking about? You're there in 2 Chronicles chapter number 26. Look at verse number 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Notice what it says. And as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. See, God made him to prosper. That promise of prospering was not just a blanket statement, God made him to prosper. There's a requirement there. And he says, as long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. Now, here's what's very interesting about Uzziah. You're there in 2 Chronicles 26. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, then all the people of Judah took Uzziah, who was 16 years old, and made him king in the room of his father, Amaziah. He built Eloth and restored it to Judah after the king slept with his fathers. Notice this. Don't miss this. Look at verse 3. 16 years old was Uzziah when he began to reign. Isn't that amazing? A 16-year-old kid becomes king. And he reigned 52 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name also was Jecholiah of Jerusalem. And he did that, I want you to notice verse 4. He did that which was right in the sight of the Lord, according to all that his father Amaziah did. For he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Now here's what I want you to understand. Don't miss this, okay? Here we have a 16-year-old kid who gets thrown into this leadership position. The king of a nation. So that'd be so cool. But here's what happened. Obviously, he was 16 years old. He was not a grown man. So there was this godly man, Zechariah. Verse 5. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had the understanding in the visions of God. And while Zechariah was alive, Zechariah was a priest, and Zechariah took this young king under his wings and said, you don't have a father. Let me guide you. Let me help you. And he mentored him. And he taught him God's word. And he taught him to live for God. And this young man, Uzziah, he did great things for God while Zechariah was alive. But here's what happened. Zechariah died, because obviously Zechariah was a lot older than him. And when Zechariah died, Uzziah stopped serving God. And unfortunately, God stopped prospering. That's why the Bible says, look at verse 4. And he sought God in the days of Zechariah, who had understanding in the visions of God. Look what it says. And as long as he sought the Lord, which was while Zechariah was alive, God made him to prosper. But when Zechariah died, and he stopped seeking the Lord, he no longer prospered. See, the prerequisite to God prospering you and helping you be successful is this, that you serve God. Now here's the sad part. There was a young man who was serving God. Here's why. Because mommy made him. Because daddy made him. Because his sister made him, or his brother made him, or his friend made him, or his neighbor made him. Let me tell you something. You can serve God because someone forces you, and God will bless you for it. But the sad part of Uzziah's life is that he never made the God of his father, or the God of his mentor, or the God of his priest, or the God of whoever, his grandmother, his uncle, whoever that person is in your life, never made them their God. You know what the sad thing is? When a wife doesn't come to church because her husband doesn't, you know what that tells me? She's not coming to church because of God. She's coming to church because of her husband. Or when a husband says, my wife's not going to church, so I'm not going to church. Well, then in your religion, you're just worshiping your wife because, well, if she wants to go to church, then we'll go to church. If she doesn't want to go to church, then we won't go to church. You know, people say, well, if my mom goes to church, I'll go to church. If my dad goes to church, I'll go to church. Let me tell you something. Teenagers and adults, you better decide why you serve God, why you live for Jesus. Well, my grandmother, if she goes to church, I'll go to church with her. My sister, if she goes to church, I'll go to church with her. But if she doesn't go to church, then I won't serve God. And let me tell you something. God says, okay, you won't honor me, I won't honor you. He said, you want to prosper, you better figure out that God's got to be the God of your heart and your life. You say, well, pastor, if you quit, preaching. I'd love to just like 60 years from now be preaching on a Sunday morning, just like fall over dead. You say, that wouldn't be nice. I know, but I think it'd be cool. But you know what? If Pastor Jimenez gets out of the ministry and just stops serving God, you live for God. Because you're not here to worship me. You're not here to worship a man. You're not here to worship an individual. Let me tell you something. I say this so many times and it's just so true. And I'm sorry if it sounds bitter. But man will fail you every... I understand the statement, okay? Because I don't think you really get it. I didn't say man will fail you sometimes. I said man will fail you every chance they get. Men are looking for opportunities to fail you. Trust me. I know. You say, what are you talking about, Pastor? Try starting a church. Try investing your life in people. Try loving people unselfishly. Try giving people money and giving people your time and effort. When you don't have time, try sleeping 4 to 5 hours a week because you're writing sermons, because you're calling people, because you're writing notes, because you're loving people just to have them turn their back on you. Trust me. You say, well, Pastor, are you a little bitter? No, maybe a little bit. Nah. You say, well, no, well, see, at those points, it's when you decide, why are you doing this? Am I doing it for so-and-so? Am I doing it for this person or that person? And at that point, that's when you realize, are you doing it for God? Well, my wife quit. Are you doing it for God? Well, my husband quit. Are you doing it for God? You say, I can say, well, Zechariah, he was my spiritual leader. Yeah, but God should have been your spiritual leader. Well, my brother, he's the one that got me saved, and he's the one that started bringing me to church, and he quit on God, so I'll quit on God. Well, in your religion, good luck with worshiping your brother. Hopefully he can help you. Good luck with worshiping your sister. Good luck with worshiping your aunt. Good luck with worshiping your cousin, or your grandmother, or your grandfather, or the pastor of the church, or whoever it is you've decided that that's your spiritual guide. And when they go down, then I'll go down with them. That's not right. See, the Bible says, look at verse 5. Look at the last part of verse 5. As long as he sought the Lord, God made him to prosper. But as soon as he stopped seeking God, God said, I'm not going to prosper you. Because see, God has rules and we play by different rules. Understand that. Well, I know a friend who he doesn't serve God and he seems to be alright. Yeah, but he's going to die and go to hell. He's not saved. You get him saved and you'll watch God deal with him the way God deals with you and I. The prerequisites to being able to prosper is seeking after God. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 20. Look at verse 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 20, look at verse 20. 2 Chronicles 20:20, look what it says. 2 Chronicles 20:20, look what it says. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judah, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God." Look what it says. "So shall ye be established." Look what it says. "Believe his prophets." Notice what it says. "So shall you prosper." You say, "What? How can I prosper, Pastor?" Number one, you'll prosper as long as you're serving God. And here's the beautiful thing about here, hey, teenagers, listen up. Children, here's the beautiful thing about God. He'll prosper you when you're being forced. God's that good. Well, I come to church because mom makes me come to church. God will still prosper you. But you better make that transition from mom or dad to the Heavenly Father. Because the time is coming when you're going to have to make the choice whether you serve God, whether you love God. But not only that, look what it says. You say, I'd like to prosper. Here's how you can prosper. Look at the last part of verse 20. "Believe his prophets, so shall you prosper." You know what will make you prosper? Brother Ron and I were soul winning yesterday, and we were talking about this. You know what will make you prosper? Bible preaching. And listen to me very carefully. Bible preaching. Not good, you know, make you feel nice preaching. Not 20-minute, you know, sermonette preaching. I mean preaching from a prophet, from a preacher that takes God's word and shows you the Bible. Let me tell you something. But not just preaching. Believing it. Say, what do you mean? Well, when you believe it, what did you do when you believe that Jesus died on the cross for your sins? What did you do? You applied that, right? You got saved. Hopefully you did. If you're not saved, let's get you saved. Let's get you baptized. But here's the thing, okay? I don't know how many sermons I've preached. And now here's the thing. Here's the funny thing about our church. You go to the average church and they preach about finances every service. And their sermon on finances is giving. Now, we preach sermons on giving. I've done it. We just did it recently with the van. I'm not ashamed of that. The Bible teaches that. But we're not the church that's preaching about giving every week. That's just not my style. But you know what? I do preach a lot about finances in the Bible, about budgeting, about saving, about having discipline, about, you know, being able to do. But here's the funny thing is, we can teach it all day long. But if you just let it go in one ear and not the other, never apply it. But here's the thing, your life would be easier if you just believe the prophets and apply it. I spent 8 weeks preaching on the subject of the family. I spent 8 weeks, an hour sermon, 8 hours of teaching you from the Bible how to be a mother, how to be a father, how to be a wife, how to be a husband, how to discipline children, how to disciple children, how to date godly, how to marry godly, how to have a godly life, how to you know, all those things from the Bible. 8 hours, and people say, "I've got issues with my wife. I've got issues with my family." Well, you're playing with your time. See, it's not enough to come to church. You've got to believe and apply. Notice what he says. Look at verse 21. Or verse 20. Look at the last part of verse 20. "Believe his prophets." Look what he says. "So shall ye prosper." See, when you take the Bible and you apply it to your life, God says, that'll help you prosper. That'll help you be successful. That'll help you be the type of person that people would look at like Joseph and say, "Wow, everything he touches seems to prosper." Why? Because he was following God. You're there in 2 Chronicles 20:20. Go to 1 Chronicles 22:13. 1 Chronicles 22:13. Don't you appreciate how I keep all those passages really next to each other? I don't know if you even noticed that. But 1 Chronicles 22, look at verse 13. 1 Chronicles 22:13. 1 Chronicles 22:13, look what it says. "Then shalt thou prosper." Notice what it says. Comma, if. There's always a prerequisite. God doesn't just, we're not prosperity preachers. God's going to name it and claim it. God's going to give you that cat. You want that Cadillac? You want a Cadillac and your wife wants a Mercedes? God will give you both of them. You just name it and claim it. That's not what we're preaching. What is that? 13. "Then shalt thou prosper if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes and judgments which the Lord charged Moses with concerning Israel, be strong and of good courage, dread not, nor be dismayed. Say, well, what can I do to prosper? Here's how you prosper. Following God's commandments. Look what it says. And then shalt thou prosper, if thou takest heed to fulfill the statutes. If the statutes, talking about his law, and judgments, talking about his law, if you say, well, how do I know the statutes? Well, that's where the preaching comes in. You come to church, you get the preaching, or in your own personal Bible reading, you get the Bible, you learn the laws, you learn the commandments, you learn the statutes, you learn the judgments, and God says, if you take heed to fulfill the statutes and judgment, then shall thou prosper. I'd like to prosper. Well, why don't you start living the way the Bible tells you to live? Why don't you start doing the things the Bible tells you to do? Go to Deuteronomy. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book in the Bible. Deuteronomy, chapter number 29. Deuteronomy, chapter number 29. Look at verse number 9. Deuteronomy, chapter number 29. Look at verse number 9. Deuteronomy, chapter number 29. Look at verse number 9. The Bible says, keep, therefore, the words of this covenant, talking about God's word, and do them. Look what it says, that ye may prosper in all that you do. I want to prosper in all that I do. Yeah, but do you want to do the commandments? Do you want to do the covenant? Do you want to do what the Bible says? See, here's the problem. Let me tell you something. The minute you learn something that you're supposed to do or you're not supposed to do, and you say, well, I don't care if the Bible says that. I'm still going to do that. You just disqualified yourself from God's prospering your life. Because God says, I'll prosper you if you keep the commandments. I'll prosper you if you believe the prophets. I'll prosper you as long as you seek the Lord. He says, keep therefore the words of this covenant. Not only keep them, and do them, that ye may prosper in all that you do. Go to Joshua. It's the very next book in the Bible. Joshua chapter number 1. Look at verse number 7. I'm showing you all these passages because I want you to think that I just picked one verse out of context. I mean, are you starting to see all throughout this? We've looked at, 5 different passages from 4 different books of the Bible, and they all consistently said this: seek God and I'll prosper you. Follow my commandments and I'll prosper you. Follow my covenant and I'll prosper you. Believe the prophets and I'll prosper you. Observe the covenants and the judgments and the statutes and I'll prosper you. That's what he says. Let me show you another one. Joshua chapter number 1, look at verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Doesn't that sound familiar to what we've been reading? Which Moses my servant commanded thee, turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest, what? Prosper. Look what he says, whithersoever thou goest. How are you going to prosper whithersoever you go? By observing to do according to all the law. See, let me tell you something. You are not. You say, well, I want to live in adultery and fornication and drunkenness and drug abuse and just a wicked life like my cousin, and I want God to prosper me the same way they prosper. It's a different game. It's different rules. How do I get the prosperity of God on my life, the blessing of God on my life as a Christian? You've got to play by God's rules. You've got to be strong and of good courage. Look, verse 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law. Look, everything the Bible says, every time the Bible tells you to not do something, and you do anyway, that's a sin. The Bible tells us the transgression of the law is sin, or sin is the transgression of the law, that's what it says. So when you have the law, and you see the law, and you know the law, and you purposely transgress the law, you just sin. You're not keeping the commandment. But look, let me make it even worse for you. Keep your finger there in Joshua, because we're coming right back to it. But go over to the book of James in the New Testament. Go to James. It's right after the book of Hebrews, towards the end of your New Testament. James, chapter number 4. And it gets even worse. You say, so every time the Bible says, thou shalt not kill, yeah, don't kill, that's bad. Thou shalt not steal, yeah, don't steal, that's bad. But all of the commandments. The Bible tells me not to do this, not to do that, not to do here, not to go there, not to think this, not to be this way, not to say that, and not to whatever, not to so all of that, when I don't keep it, you just disqualified yourself from God's prosperity. And obviously, we're all human. But there's something about a person who just defies God's word, who says, I know. See, there's one thing to be in sin and not realize it, or just you did it, but you quickly just realize, I didn't mean to do that, and ask God for it. But it's another thing to just live it. You understand the difference? It's one thing to be like, man, I just failed right there, I messed that, I didn't want to do that, I can't believe I did that, Lord, please forgive me. It's another thing to just say, I know the Bible says not to do that, but I'm just going to do it. Very defiant towards God. Very, very upfront to God. You're there in James chapter 4? You said, but see, it gets even worse though. I love making it worse for you. Because then you really leave here encouraged. Look at verse 17. Look what it says. Not only when you know something's wrong and you do it as a sin, but look at verse 17. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, look what it says, to him it is sin. So not only is it sin to do something that you know is wrong, when you don't do something that you know is right, the Bible says that's sin too. Isn't that crazy? Therefore to him that knoweth to do good. So when you know, you say, I know I ought to go soul winning, and you don't go, guess what? You just sin. When you say, I know how to read my Bible, and you don't, guess what? You just sin. When you say, man, I really know how to discipline my child at this time, but I'm just too tired, and you don't, you just sin. Every time you don't do something you're supposed to do, the Bible says, therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. And let me tell you something. I understand that this is not popular preaching today. I understand that you go to the average church in America today and this type of sermon or this type of preaching or this type of thinking and philosophy would split the average church in this country. But let me tell you something. Christians need to wake up and realize that you are a called out assembly. You are a peculiar people. You are different. You do not play by the same rules that the world plays. It comes with being saved. I'm sorry you didn't read the fine print, but that's how it goes. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Keep your bulletin there in James chapter 4, or put something there because we're coming back to it. But go to Joshua chapter 1. So how do I get the prosperity of God in my life? Well, number one, you get it by seeking after God, keeping His commandments. But there's another way to get it. Or I shouldn't say another way. There's more you must do to get it. You can't say, oh, okay, so I won't do that one. What's the next thing I could do? No, it's a step process. You got to do it all. Look at Joshua chapter number 1. Look at verse number 7. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law, which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. Look at verse 8. This book of the law, talking about the Bible, shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do. That's the point of the Bible, by the way. Why do you teach us these things from the Bible? So you can do it. That thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, for when thou shalt make thy way, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. By the way, that's the only time the Bible uses the word success. The entire Bible. Only time the word success is used is that verse. So how do I get that? Here's how you get it. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth. So when God's word doesn't depart out of your mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. When you meditate upon God's word day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein, we already talked about that, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. The other way, the only way to get the prosperity of God in your life is, number one, to do what God tells you to do, but number two, you must meditate upon God's word day and night. Now, I don't know about you, but the first time I grasped that thought, I thought to myself, well, that would be impossible. I mean, who can meditate upon God's word day and night? So, well, I read the Bible in the morning. Yeah, but all day long you're not thinking about it. It's not in your mouth. But then I got taught. It's actually Pastor Steve Anderson who was here preaching for us in February. I heard him say something about this passage, and I thought, wow, that's amazing. And I realized that there is a way to meditate upon God's word all day and all night, and to have it never depart your mouth. You say, what is that? It's so simple. Memorize God's Word. You say, what are you talking about? Well, here's the thing. When you memorize God's Word, see, when you read the Bible in the morning, you read it, you try to learn something from it, then you close it, and you leave it for the rest of the day. But when you memorize God's Word, and I'm talking about you begin to memorize the Bible. Say, what are you talking about? I'm talking about you take a 3x5 card, and you write a verse down on it, and you carry it with you all day long, and you're actively working on memorizing that verse. Here's what happens. You're thinking about that verse all day long. But not only that, you're meditated upon it all day long. It's funny because just yesterday I was memorizing a verse in the book of Revelation. And I just had it written down on a 3x5 card. I'm working all day long. I'm pulling it out, looking at it. You know, just took like 3 or 4 words and just repeated it to myself like 1,000 times. So it's just embedded in my head. And then added a few more words to it, just memorize and just trying to memorize this verse. And guess what happened this morning when my alarm clock went up at 5 in the morning? My alarm clock goes off, I wake up, and the first thing I think is that verse. Literally. I didn't do it on purpose. It was just there. And here's the thing. When you begin to memorize God's Word, it's literally on your lips all day long. It's literally in your mind all day long. You meditate upon it day and night. And let me tell you something. I honestly believe that if you would memorize God's Word, and you say, I barely read God's Word. I know, memorize it too. God promises to prosper you. Look at what it says. Look at verse 7. Verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, and that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. But just so you understand that we're not taking just a verse out of context, go back to Psalms 1. Remember where we started? Let me show you this in Scripture. Psalm 1. Let's do it quickly. Psalm 1. Psalm 1. And look at verse number 1. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. What is that talking about? That's talking about living the way God wants you to live, following His commandments. Look at verse 2. But, tell me if you find, if this sounds familiar, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. You see that? Tell me if this is a coincidence. He says, in his law doth he meditate day and night, look at verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Is it a coincidence that the 2 times in the Old Testament that God promises to prosper you, it's associated with this, meditating upon his word day and night? Not a coincidence. I want God's prosperity on my life. Me too. Memorize the Bible. See, the Bible tells us, you know, the Bible tells us where to renew our mind. The Bible tells us where to cleanse our mind. The Bible says to actually capture every one of our thoughts. Because let me tell you something, idle time is devil time. You know why people deal with pain and heartache, they deal with depression, they deal with anger and bitterness, they deal with sin. You know why? Because you've got too much time to think. That's why I believe everyone ought to get up and just work all day long, every day. Keep yourself busy. And when you've got some free time, you say, am I going to think about if I could do this, if I could do that, or if I could be that person, or that? No, just think about this, God's Word. Whatsoever thing is pure, whatsoever thing is good. Remember that? Follow God's Word. You say, well, I think it's going to be 1 Timothy. Let's look at it in the New Testament. 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter number 4. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verse number 13. 1 Timothy chapter number 4, look at verse 13 in the New Testament. 1 Timothy 4:13 says, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. What's he talking about? He's talking about reading God's Word, right? Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the presbytery. Look at verse 15. Meditate upon these things. What things? Reading, exhortation, doctrine. Reading is talking about reading God's Word. Exhortation is talking about being preached God's Word. Doctrine is talking about being taught God's Word. And he says, when you read God's word, when you preach God's word, when you're taught God's word, and then in verse 15, you meditate upon these things and give thyself wholly to them. You don't hold back. You don't say, well, I'm going to do some of it. You say, I'm going to do all of it. I'm going to give myself to God. Look what he says. That thy profiting may appear to all. Do you see that? Say, I want a profit. You know, who wants to start a business and have a profit? You know what I want? That's a good thing. You don't want to be in the red. You want to have a profit. You want to increase. You want to prosper. It all means the same thing. So how do I profit? By meditating upon these things. See, if you would give yourself to the Word of God, God promises you He'll make you to prosper. God made Daniel to prosper. The Bible says that Daniel prospered. God made Joseph to prosper. God made certain kings, Hezekiah, Uzziah, to prosper. Look, God's not a respecter of persons. They don't have something that you don't have, or they don't, you know, there's nothing special about them that's not about you. They've got the same access to the same God, to the same Spirit, to the same Word of God. Here's the difference. They gave themselves wholly to it. You and I hold back. And that's why we don't prosper. I said, number one, what causes us to prosper? Seeking after God, following His commandments, meditating upon His Word. Go with me. Let me show you a couple more verses on this subject. What keeps us from prospering? What keeps you from prospering? Because not only are there things you've got to do to prosper, there are things that will keep you from prospering. We've got to do it quickly. I got to do this in 9 minutes. Okay, so let's do it fast. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter number 13. 2 Chronicles chapter number 13. We've been in Chronicles all morning long, so it should be pretty easy to find. 2 Chronicles chapter number 13. We found what helps you to prosper. Well, what could keep you from prospering? Well, it's really very simple. Doing the opposite of what makes you prosper. You say, what are you talking about? You're there in 2 Chronicles. Look at chapter number 13. Look at verse number 12. 2 Chronicles 13, 12. And behold, God Himself is with us for our captain, and His priests with sounding trumpets to cry alarm against you, O children of Israel. Look what it says. Look at the last part of verse number 12. That's what I want you to see. Fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. You want to put yourself on the list of not prospering real quickly? Just start fighting against God. So how do you fight against God? Not following His commandments. When He tells you to do something, you say, no, God. You argue with God. You're bitter towards God. You fight God. God says, hey, fight ye not against the Lord God of your fathers, for ye shall not prosper. He says, you're not going to prosper as long as you're fighting against God. You're there in 2 Chronicles 13. Go to 2 Chronicles chapter 24. 2 Chronicles chapter number 24. Look at verse number 20. 2 Chronicles chapter number 24. Look at verse number 20. 2 Chronicles 24 and verse 20, the Bible says, the Spirit of God came upon Zechariah, the son of Jehoiada, the priest, which stood above the people. Do you remember Zechariah? We talked about him earlier. The people, and said unto them, thus saith God, why transgress ye the commandments of the Lord? Transgress means to go again. Remember, sin is the transgression of the law. He says, why are you transgressing the commandments of the Lord? Here's what he's asking. Why are you sinning? Look what he says. That ye cannot prosper. He says, when you sin, God, you can't prosper anymore. Here's why. Because ye have forsaken the Lord, He hath also forsaken you. Now, I want you to understand this. We're not talking about your salvation. God says, I will not leave thee nor forsake thee in regards to salvation. But God says, when it comes to our relationship, the moment you walk away from me, God says, I've got other things to do. I'm not going to waste my time with you. You say, that's not very nice. Take it up with God. Because He says, ye have forsaken the Lord, He hath also forsaken you. You are, and we're not talking about salvation. We understand, you know, the prodigal son type mentality where the father is always waiting with his arms open to receive you back. We understand that. But here's the thing. The father did not go chasing after the prodigal son. The father did not go after and say, please come back. Please. He said, you want to leave? Go ahead. You forsake me? He's like, I'll be here. When you need to come back, I'll be here. And God said, you want to leave? You want to forsake me? That's fine. I'll be here when you need me. But I'm not going to chase after you. I'm not going to beg you that you serve me. He says, you know, it's a privilege to serve me. When you realize that, prodigal, you can come back. He says, ye have forsaken the Lord. He hath also forsaken you. Did you keep your place in James? Go back to James. I told you to put a bulletin there or something. Now you wish you would have listened. James, chapter number 4. Look at verse 1. Just look at James 4. Look at verse 1. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of the lusts that war in your members? Ye lust. Look what it says. This is a Christian. See, here's the world. They lust and they have a lot. They sin and they prosper. But here's the Christian. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have. Ye cannot obtain. Ye fight and war and ye have not. You try to live the life that this world lives and you're not going to succeed like this world succeeds. You're going to be sad and you're going to be depressed and you're not going to have the same prosperity. You're like, why can they do it and I can't do it? Because you've got someone fighting against you that they don't, and that's God. When you're in sin, God fights against you. You say, is that true? Look what it says. Ye lust and have not. Ye kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. Ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not. Does that sound like someone who prospers when you ask God for something and He doesn't give it to you? It says, ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lust. Because here's the thing, when you forsake God, He forsakes you. When you fight against God, He won't prosper you. Look at verse 4, ye adulterers and adulteresses. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God? The word enmity means to be an enemy. God, he describes that further. Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. See, God is a very jealous God. And God says, I don't have the time to waste with someone who wants to just ride the fence. I'm half in, half out, trying to kind of do the religious thing and be the church thing and then live in the world. God says, you're a friend of the world. He's like, you're not a friend of mine. Look at verse 5. Do you think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? But he giveth more grace, wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Say, well, what do I do? So, verse 7. Submit yourself therefore to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. And here's the thing. Well, God's a very mean God. If I forsake God, he forsakes me. But here's the beautiful thing about God. Look at verse 8. Draw nigh to God and he will draw nigh to you. See, here's the beautiful thing about the prodigal son. He forsook the father, and the father said, whatever, I'll be here when you need me. But when he drew nigh to the father, what did the father do? Did the father wait at the house? What did he do? He ran after him. You remember that in the story? See, because as soon as you take that step towards God, God said, I'm going to take a step towards you. You draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. But here's how you draw nigh to God. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. It's all about living a righteous, godly life. You say, what are you doing? You're playing by the rules of God. And God says, when you play by my rules, you win. You prosper. You do right. You do well. Let's skip a lot of this because I'm out of time. Look, let me show you just a couple more verses. Go to Proverbs chapter number 28. There's one more thing that you can do that would cause you to keep from prospering. Proverbs 28. Look at verse number 13. Proverbs 28:13 says, he that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. See, when we cover our sin, and that's the natural thing we want to do. When we're in sin, we want to cover. I don't want so-and-so to know that I'm doing this or doing that. Don't tell the pastor. Don't tell the pastor that I'm doing that. You know, if I got a nickel for every time somebody said that. Don't tell the pastor I'm doing it. You said, if you think I'm picking on you, I'm not, because everybody has said that. Just don't tell the pastor that I was watching that, or don't tell the... Like, let me tell you something. If you're serving the pastor, then yeah, don't tell the pastor. But let me break it down for you. The pastor's a man like you. And the pastor didn't die for your sin. And here's the sad part is, the one who did fight for your sins watches you all the time. So it really doesn't matter Well, just don't tell the pastor I was wearing pants. Yeah, it doesn't matter. I could care less. Because guess who watches you all the time? God does.
Well, don't tell the pastor I was watching that.
Well, it doesn't really matter. But guess who's with you all the time? God is. And that's why we must serve Him. I'm not trying to have a cult here. I'm not trying to have a personality religion. You know, I mean, good night. If you're trying to follow a man, I'm sure you can find a lot cooler people to follow than me. But if you're trying to follow God, you got to follow His rules. Look at verse 13. He that covereth his sin shall not prosper. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Can I show you one more verse? I'm going to do it anyway. I don't know why I asked. Go to 3 John chapter 1. This is the last one, I promise. You just go to the very end of the Bible. The last book, the book of Revelation. Right before Revelation is the book of Jude. Right before the book of Jude, which is just one chapter, is the book of 3 John, which is also one chapter. 3 John, chapter number 1. Hey, Pastor, why do you preach sermons like this? Well, I'll be very honest with you. I don't know why this happens to me. This was supposed to be an encouraging sermon, but they just seem to take this negative twist. I don't know why. 3 John, chapter number 1. But here's why do you preach sermons like this, Pastor? Here's why. Why do you preach so much Bible, Pastor? Here's why. Why do you preach against so much sin, Pastor? Here's why. Why are you always telling us what we need to do and why we need to do it and when all this? Here's why. 1 John, chapter number 1, look at verse 2. Here's the heart of a pastor. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. See, Brother Arden and I were talking about this yesterday. You know what's the difference about Verity Baptist Church than the average church, the average charismatic, liberal, non-denominational, Pentecostal, whatever church in this city? You know what the difference is? They don't care if you come to church and never change. In fact, they don't want you to change. They don't want you to get better. I was telling Brother Ron, there's an individual who's been going to church for years. I mean, this person is a faithful, you know, one of the main people at one of these charismatic churches somewhere. And they came to our church for like a week or a few weeks. And they were like, whenever I come to this church, I just feel so bad about living in fornication. Because they're like, she's in this relationship where she's fornicating and not married. And here's what I thought to myself. So you've been going to this other church for years and never felt bad about it. And you came here for like 2 weeks and you feel guilty about it. But here's the difference. Most churches are interested in growing crowds, not growing people. See, we want quantity. You say, we're getting a new building because we want to fill it. We want quantity. But you know what we want more than quantity? We want quality. You know what we want more than growing a congregation? We want to grow you. And the purpose of church is to make you better. The purpose of church is to grow you. The purpose of Verity Baptist Church, it'd be a sad statement if you came to Verity Baptist Church for a month or a year or a decade and you were just the same. Still struggling with the same sins. Still not knowing your Bible. You know what we want? That you come here and say, "Wow, I've only been coming here for like 2 months and I've learned so much. Man, since I started coming, I never went soul winning, but I'm a soul winner now. I never read my Bible, but I've read my Bible now. I never memorized the Bible, but I memorized it now. I never prayed with my children, but I pray now." So what do we want? Here's my desire. I want you to prosper. I don't want you to live a life of hurt. But here's the problem. And listen to me, and I'm done right now. I promise. Here's the problem. There are two types of Christians in this world. Those who take the sermon and say, "I don't care. I don't care what the pastor says. I'm gonna pretend like I'm not listening." Or there are the type of Christians who say, "Wow, I want to prosper." You say, "What's the difference?" It's a heart. It's a heart matter. And you know what I found out as a pastor is that I can't change people's hearts. So how do hearts get changed? The same way the prodigal son's heart got changed. He came to the end of himself. He came to the lowest place that God brought him. And he said, "Wow, I can do better than this." That you say, what, Pastor, what's your desire? My desire, beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers. That's what God wants for you. That's what I want for you. But the only way you're going to do it, you can't do it the same rules that the world does it. You've got to do it by following God's word and meditating upon God's word. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord, so much. Thank you for our church. And Lord, I pray that this sermon would be used in the lives of people. That they would say, Man, I want to prosper. Man, I say I want to prosper. If no one else got anything from this sermon, I got something from it. I got something from the studying that went into that. Lord, you know I want to prosper. And I want your blessing. I want your favor. I pray you'd help me to be obedient to your word. Help me to meditate. Help me to be faithful. Father, we love you. In your precious name I pray. Amen.